Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to present on our study of massage parlors in Los Angeles and New York. And the study is about the spatial analysis of massage parlor location, but another part of our study is interviewing women in Los Angeles and New York, and we have some preliminary data that I'm going to present as well on that. So I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. I wanted to thank our funder, the National Institute of Health, the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. So sex work in the United States, at least, has increasingly moved from the streets to indoor venues such as massage parlors, hotels, and bars, and also places that purport to be acupuncture clinics or other health venues. And part of this is because of heightened enforcement of anti-prostitution ordinances, which has made highly visible sex work, such as street sex work, more difficult, and also the internet, which has made finding sex workers and the venues in which they work easier. So as was discussed in some of our previous presentations, female sex workers are at high risk for sexually transmitted infections such as HIV, and also vulnerable to exploitation and violence. And some of this violence is, or exploitation is also financial. So in terms of engaging in higher risk behavior, there are certain financial incentives. Some women report being offered $1,000 to have sex without a condom, so those types of pressures. Also, part of the economic exploitation comes from migration debts that the women may owe to their snakeheads or people who bring them into the country, or human traffickers. Also, when there are a lack of other employment options because of language and cultural barriers and skills training and education, sex work may be one of the few options for them to earn a substantial living. So the first question we're looking at is, how can understanding of spatial patterns of massage parlor location inform the development of systems level health interventions? So as an urban planner, we're doing kind of spatial analysis and looking at the geographic patterns of massage parlor location. So very simply, understanding where massage parlors are can inform geographic targeting of health interventions, but also understanding what drives spatial clustering can possibly help us develop interventions that target further up the causal chain. So the methods for this part of the study, we identified popular websites for rating massage parlors, and we selected one site called rubmaps.com. And basically, we logged all the reviews posted within a one-year period. This was 2012 to 2013. And we looked solely at Chinese, Korean, and quote-unquote Asian reviews. And we looked at the LA County and the five boroughs of New York City. In case you've never seen these sites, here's a screenshot of rubmaps.com. And probably you've used Yelp or other types of sites to search for restaurants or other types of services. This actually works very similarly. So you search a location, the places pop up, there's basic information provided, including the phone number and location and the basic charge per hour. If you go further into it, you can find a map, and then a bunch of reviews, including very specific, you know, and categorized in terms of the kinds of services that are provided, how many stars. So it's, in terms from a researcher's perspective, it's really interesting because you can cull all this data and then actually analyze it. So for Los Angeles County, we identified 400 mappable massage parlors, and for New York City, also about 400 mappable massage parlors. Because the women are identified individually within the sites, although it's not always possible to tell if they're really different people, we also identified 1,300 separate female sex workers in Los Angeles and about 1,200 in New York City. And again, it's not... Asian massage parlors made up about 95% of the site, so we weren't leaving out actually a lot of sites by focusing just on Chinese, Korean, and Asian. And these maps were created in ArcGIS software. So basically, with the spatial analysis, we performed a local test of spatial autocorrelation, ELISA, to identify hotspots. So we looked at census tracts that had a higher than expected number of massage parlors and surrounded by census tracts with a higher number than expected number of massage parlors. High-low tracts are sort of islands of concentration surrounded by less densely concentrated census tracts, low-high, low census tracts surrounded by census tracts with high number of massage parlors, and low-low, which are kind of what we call cold spots. I won't go into the details of the spatial analysis, but if you have questions about it, please feel free to ask about it. So these are the hot spots in New York City, and the red are the high clusters. And so you can see, I don't know if you're familiar with New York, but this is Manhattan right here. And most of the hot spots are actually in Manhattan. Although we do see some in Western Queens and some in Eastern Queens, and then some of these high-low sort of isolated island clusters in the northern Bronx and also in Staten Island. And then a bunch of cold spots around the outer boroughs. So we're seeing a good bit of concentration in Manhattan. It looks like a lot of the more upper income areas and commercial areas. So this is Los Angeles County, which I'm actually less familiar with intuitively and organically, but basically it looks like there's kind of like a ring of hotspots around the downtown core of Los Angeles. So it's being pushed out a little bit from the downtown core, and the high spots are up north here, and then there's some high-low clusters down in the southern part of the county. So we did a spatial regression looking at what census tract characteristics predict clustering. And basically for New York, we found that clustering was associated with higher numbers of employees, higher number of people who walk to work, and higher percent white in the census tract, and negatively associated with commute times, family size, household size, and percent black. So higher commute times, higher family and household sizes, and higher percent black were not associated with clustering, or negatively associated with clustering. For the LA analysis, we found actually kind of a reverse in a way. We found that clustering was associated with higher family and household size, higher percent Hispanic, and then negatively associated with higher numbers working at home and higher proportions of younger men ages 15 to 24. And we also found that clustering was associated with being in LA City versus being in unincorporated parts of the county. So I don't know if people are familiar with LA County, but there are a bunch of incorporated small cities throughout LA County, and then there's a large swaths of LA County that are unincorporated and are governed by the county. So we're finding that there is kind of a city versus unincorporated county relationship here. So the spatial regression takeaways, in New York City, massage parlors cluster in a variety of areas, including higher income areas, whereas in LA, it appears that massage parlors cluster more in the incorporated city and possibly in lower income areas. This is a little bit challenging to compare because Manhattan is 34 square miles and LA City is 503 square miles. So to say that it's spread out in Manhattan and not in LA is kind of difficult to say. Interestingly, percent Asian is not significant in either location. So in terms of locating near your workers, it may not be happening. Workers may be traveling further from their residential ethnic enclave to work in the industry. So I wanted to talk about our interviews in progress with 60 women in Los Angeles and 60 women in New York City. We talked to the women about initiation into sex work, massage parlor practices, experiences with law enforcement and health risks. We finished 42 interviews in New York, which I'm going to talk about, and just some highlights of the surveys. So just a little bit on demographics. So the primary language spoken by the respondents was about half Korean and half Chinese, and the Chinese was mostly Mandarin. A very linguistically isolated population, so how well do you speak English? Not at all was about 20%, and not well another 60%. So about 80% felt they didn't speak English at all or not well. So a little bit about coercion. Have you ever felt you had to accept a client when you didn't want to? So if we look at always, almost always, and most of the time, that takes up a bit more than a quarter of the interviewees. You could see never and rarely is about 40%. And a lot of the women we talk to, they do feel a lot of agency and control over their work life. So it really varies by the kind of venue. 8 of the 42 women disclosed providing full service vaginal sex. And this is somewhat particular to the massage parlor sector, where hand jobs are more common. But of the women who disclosed providing full service vaginal sex, only 4 said they always use a condom. So 2 said they never use a condom, and 2 said they almost always use a condom. Ever tested for HIV? No was 52%. And don't know was about 5%. So a bit more than half were not tested for HIV or don't know if they've been tested for HIV. And disclosure of sex work. So this goes to some of the other, what the other speakers were talking about in terms of isolation and social support. So have you ever told any family member about your sex work? Only 2.8% said yes. Told a partner about sex work, a little more, 11%. Told a health or social service provider about sex work, 8%. So a lot of relying on friends for support, but only 47% had told a close friend about their sex work. So we looked at also kind of like questions of worker control and you know, the women being moved around the country in order to provide sex work, and also kind of like making them more vulnerable when they're taken away from their home and out of their element, maybe in a place where there aren't any other Asians or people who speak their language. So 45% say they have traveled to other states to provide massage parlor services. And it's a wide range of states, all the way to Alabama, Texas, North Carolina, including some of the places that are closer to New York. We asked this question, did you enter sex work by choice, necessity, or a little bit of both? And 18% said by choice, 29% by necessity, and 50% said a bit of both. Were you coerced into sex work? Now this is interesting, only one person out of the 42 said yes. This is interesting because it has to be taken within the context of traumatic experience. So, you know, sitting down with a researcher and asking have you been coerced into this work, a lot of women might say they weren't, even though they were. It may also take quite a bit of time to uncover any kind of experience of trauma or other types of trafficking. Have you been hit or physically hurt by a client in the last 12 months? So this is very concerning. 19% said yes to that question. Have you been threatened by a client in the last 12 months? 24% said yes to that question. And have you been forced to have sex by a client in the last 12 months? 38% said yes to that question. And when I shared this with some advocates in the community, they felt that was very shocking, since our view of massage parlor work generally is that the women have a bit more control over their environment than, say, in brothel establishments that operate out of private apartments or hotels. So this is all very preliminary, I know, but I did want to talk a little bit about intervention directions. That's our ultimate aim. So in terms of the cluster analysis, some directions are to target interventions geographically based on this knowledge, to understand locational incentives for massage parlor owners, such as their economic incentives for locating in certain places, their desire to evade law enforcement, and also to enhance worker control. So if we can target interventions in terms of the policy level by understanding those factors, we might be able to make some change. We also want to evaluate the effectiveness and unintended consequences of policies that regulate massage parlor establishment. So California has been doing a lot of experimentation around massage parlor certification and massage therapy certification, but it's actually created lots of unintended consequences, including a proliferation of illegitimate massage parlors, and law enforcement was outraged by the result of this policy. And there's been some rollback. What we've been finding a lot in our conversations with providers is the lack of coordination among the various regulation and law enforcement mechanisms, and from an urban planning perspective, also a lack of coordination with strategies like zoning and land use controls to figure out how to regulate massage parlors. And of course, there's also looking at other models like the Nordic model, which is criminalizing only the owners and the clients. In New York, we have what's called a human trafficking intervention court, which allows women charged with prostitution to have their cases closed after a year if they go through a series of workshops. So it's an attempt to not criminalize the victim in the situation. And as the travel around states shows, and the shipping women around the country, we need to improve regional and national coordination of our programs. Also, the fact that only one woman felt she was coerced into this into sex work suggests that we need to find services or provide services for women who don't believe they were trafficked. So a lot of the funding, at least in New York, for providing services comes through anti-trafficking programs, but that requires a certain perspective on the work, and a lot of women don't see themselves that way. And of course, we have to improve HIV education and testing rates. We need to address social determinants of health and labor exploitation. Again, these immigrant women with cultural and language barriers and perhaps lack of marketable skills may not have many alternatives to sex work. We need to address violence in the workplace. And also we need to address, identify the higher risk venues. So we started this study with massage parlors, but as we got into it, we realized we may not be targeting the highest risk venues. And the difficulty in targeting those higher risk venues, they are much more clandestine, and there's a lot more in terms of possibly organized crime and other types of dangers involved in that, in sort of exploring that world. So just want to acknowledge some of our research partners, our data collection team, and if you have questions, please contact me or Lois, the other principal investigator. We also have our spatial analyst in the room, Doug Wiebe, over there in the back. Thank you.